You know, let's hit that button right there, bro. Watch me. You get speed the service up.
I'll have us out of here by 11:30.
And hit that button right there. Okay, let's back up a little bit. God is awesome all the time. Praise God, praise God. Get your Bibles out in the Matthew chat. Today is the last day, the very last day on the Beatitudes. Somebody say amen. Well, y'all really want more. We'll get some more. I can dig up some more in the Beatitudes if y'all want. Send it on. Matthew chapter 5. God is awesome. All the time, God is awesome. A little boy was standing by his father, watching him try to put a floppy disk. Y'all remember floppy disk? He was trying to put a floppy disk in his computer, and the father was having trouble getting the disk into the computer all the way. And the little boy said to his father, "Maybe it has a penny in it." Daniel. And so he takes it and turns it over, and the penny comes out. Sure enough, when the father fished around inside the disk was inserted, out came a penny. The father tried again, but the disk still wouldn't go in all the way. And the little boy said, Daniel said, "Daddy, there may be a whole lot of pennies." Well, we're going to talk about today. There's some of y'all in here today that you got a lot of pennies in your floppy disk. You got a lot of pennies in your computer, and you're trying to get it to work, and things aren't working right. And you're wondering, why in the world is things not working right? And why do I keep having this trouble? Look at somebody and say, why do I keep having this trouble? Ask somebody else, why do I keep having this trouble? If you want to, you can pull a Charlie Brown and say, why is everybody always picking on me? Y'all are awful quiet today. Woo, y'all are quiet. Is it the rain? We can shut the window so you can't see the rain. All right. Matthew chapter 5, stand for the reading of the word, Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which do mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see, or pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." That's where we've been all these weeks. And then last week we started on this. It's a two-parter. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where we stopped last week. So moving on a little further. Blessed are ye. Now all this time he's been talking about they. How do you like to say they said? Y'all know what they say. How many's ever heard that? My grandmama's her favorite saying. You know what they say. My granny looked at my grandmama one day and said, "Who's they? And how do I get a hold of them? Because I'm getting tired of them influencing you, woman." Now he changed it to ye. It's easy for us to say it's somebody else, but now he's saying you. I'm talking to you. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is talking to you. "Bless you, when men shall revile you and revile you and persecute you, and you shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth thence good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In other words, let people see the Beatitudes. You don't pick one. All. All. Somebody say all. All. It's a total job. A total job. You show the Beatitudes, and then God can show himself alive in your life. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, God, for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord, to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. And I ask you, Lord, to minister mightily to us and through us this day. Truly, God, it's an honor and privilege to be here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, You shake somebody's hand on the way down and say, praise God, we're here. Go ahead. Now, Brother Burton, how about you stand up and just welcome the people. Brother Burton's here. I'm trying to find a mic. Let's see, number 11. Number 11. Brother Burton is the man with the plan. And he's got the assistant man with the plan beside him. Come on, Mark.
I didn't have no plan. But it's good to be here. It's good to see all that. I hope to see you again soon.
Amen.
But Pastor came by the house Friday. I told him I want to surprise you Sunday. But I did tell you I was going to make it me and Mark.
So, that's cool.
Anyway, it's good to be here. I love all of you.
Amen. Brother Mark. Next time Brother Mark comes, he's going to sing us a song. That's going to be cool. I've been wanting to play bass with him forever. So now I've got a captive audience now. We're committed now. Amen. Amen. Okay, so for last however many weeks, praise God, it's been forever. It seems like because we had to take a break for Mother's Day and a break for Father's Day. And it felt like a break for Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. But we had to take breaks to get through this study here that we're having on the Beatitudes. Today is the last day. Remember, God gave us vitamins. Vitamins in this world are beneficial. Vitamins give B vitamins especially. There you go. B vitamins especially, they touch our energy, our outlook, our strength. And God gives us some B vitamins too, and that's the Beatitudes. It helps our energy, our outlook, and our strength. So again, the Beatitudes. Somebody say Beatitude. Now look at somebody and say, the Beatitudes should be yours. Didn't it feel good? Tell them again. The Beatitudes should be yours. Now tell them, look, now you look back at that person and say, well, he's talking to you too. All right. Blessed, happy. Here it is. We just read part of the scripture last week, so we're going to put the whole scripture up this week. Blessed or happy. Mark 5:10-12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You ever been lied on before? Has anybody ever spoke falsely against you? Has anybody ever talked about you? I mean, anybody kind of lately even talked about you? Can we turn this one on right here, though? This one here, bro. Pulpit light. Okay. There's another for you, brother. Pulpit light. Okay. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, this word blessed means happy. Watch this. This is from last week. Persecuted me, wrong one. Somebody asked the guy, he come in and said, he said, I'm sorry, but I think I ran over your cat. He said, he did. What did it look like? He said, he was like this. Okay. Blessed, happy, to be persecuted. Persecuted means to be chased after. And if I'm being chased after, it means I'm still in front. Amen? If you're being chased after, that means you're still in front of Satan. He's coming at you. So true happiness is knowing that I'm making such a difference in the kingdom that he wants me down. Think about it. How many times have you been under attack lately? And how many times you said, well, you know, weren't like this until I committed myself to God. There it is. I didn't have these problems until I committed myself to God. That's because you were not out in front. Once you commit yourself to God, you get out in front, and Satan wants to trip you up and bring you back down. Amen? Wants to cut you down to his side. And I'm saving the best for last. Matter of fact, it even says there, saving the best for last. It's the last beatitude that serves as a test of all others. Persecution is a normal mark of discipleship. It's the longest one that has the heart. It's the hardest to embrace. It's the only one with the command, rejoice and be glad. It's the only one with an explanation. It's the only one repeated twice. If God repeats something twice, he's trying to drive a point home to you. He's trying to get something inside your spirit. So it's the only beatitude to direct directly to us. Everything says they, but now he says you. So here we go. We've got persecution. How many has been persecuted lately? You felt some bad things talked about you. You've seen the devil put some heat on you. You felt the heat. Maybe in your life, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your relationships, maybe on your job, maybe in your own family. You felt the heat and didn't even know where it was coming from. I just know I felt that heat and I need some help. You know, so persecution means to be chased after, to pursue. It means to be troubled or harassed. It means to be pressed into a tight place. It means to drive away. So now think about this. This is what Satan wants to do to every last one of us. There's nobody in here that's exempt. Satan wants to do this same job on every last one of us. So here he tells us there's two categories of persecution. It's easy to say persecution, and you say, well, maybe it weren't. This weren't persecution. There's two categories. The first category is a test of your character. When Satan is bringing persecution, whether it be through people, whether it be through his own self, whether it be however it is, your boss, whatever, the first test is a test of your character. He says there's going to be verbal insults. That insult means to chide, to taunt, to defame, to talk about. You know, think about this thing. What does it take to stop you? You say, well, I started this good start, and God will be happy. You know what? Starting it does not impress God. Finishing it impresses God. Anybody can start. Finishing it, follow through, that's what impresses him. So look, Luke 6:22, he takes it a little closer. He says, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you. You've been excluded from anything? Insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Why does it take to stop you? I remember this is an old joke. This is so old. The first time I heard it, I laughed so hard, I kicked the slat out of my crib. Here it is. Really? I would climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest ocean too. I would crawl the hottest desert. I'll do anything for you. I will leap the tallest building. I will bear any trial or pain. There's no limit to my love, and I'll be over Friday night if it don't rain. What does it take to stop you? Not start you, stop you. So now, watch this now. So first, he wants to test your character. Testing character, every last one of us. Remember, persecution is to build character in God's eyes. It is to test character and to destroy character in Satan's eyes. The second one is a test of comfort. The first is a test of character. The second thing he says is a test of comfort. Because he says, when they persecute you, which means again to chase away, to pursue with hostile intent, to be hunted down as an animal. Has anybody even felt like that? You know, I was talking to my brother last night about my niece. I was kind of blown away. I said, well, Gary, what's going on? He said, she's got an infection. They don't know what's going on. It's attacking her entire body. It has become toxic. Not only has it become toxic, but it's actually got in there, and now it's spreading through her entire body, and I think it's even affected her heart and lungs. And she's 19 years old. She wants to be a missionary. She wants to work for God. Her greatest desire is to work for God. And I said, well, you know, if she wants to work for God, Satan's going to attack her. Don't think that she's going to have an easy street if she wants to work. And I told my brother, I said, I learned a long time ago, before God will use you greatly, he will allow you to be broken greatly. And so I said, I don't know who's what's going on here. I can tell you this, though. She's in God's hands. She is in God's hands. And then he called me a little later and said, the heart doctor came in and said, it has not affected her heart. And I said, praise God. Has not affected her lungs. Praise God. Now they're trying to find out where it's coming from so they can fix it. But she said the only thing they can think of is she saw a mouse in a trap and she tried to get the mouse out of the trap without hurting the mouse. I know. So when she tried to get the mouse out, the mouse bit her. And so it may come from that mouse bite. We're not sure. But still, here it is. The physical attack. The tense of the verb means you have endured repeating raiding or being raided repeatedly. And let me just tell you something. Some of us, we really think it's a hard time when the cable's off. It's a hard time when the microwave's down. It's a hard time when the drive-thru window's closed. it's a hard time when we can't drive our nicest car because it needs fixing. We got to drive the ragged car. Man, it's hard times. I can't stand it, God. Can you help me? It's so bad. We do that, don't we? We're a spoiled generation. Let me just tell you a little something. Do you know what we did today, communion? In the early church was being talked about that they were cannibals. And that when they took communion, they were accused of cannibalism. Think about this. Anybody remember here and said, look at the cannibals in the church? Take a communion, look at me. Now, if I may tell you just a few things about persecution, I could go on and on and on, but I just want to just give you a few. You know, one writer described persecutions that Christians had faced in these words: all the world knows of the Christians who were flung to the lions or burned at the stake. These were kindly deaths. This is a historian writing back in that day. He said to be flung to a lion or to be burned at a stake alive was kind. Kind. Let me finish talking here. You see what he's talking about. Nero wrapped Christians in pitch and set them afire and used them as living torches to light his garden. Not only that, but he sewed them into skins of wild animals and set his hunting dogs upon them to tear them apart. Hunt them down and tear them apart. The Christians back in that day, this is the worst of all. They were tortured on the rack. They were scraped with pincers. They were molten lead was poured hissing on them. Their eyes were torn out. Parts of their bodies were cut off and roasted before their eyes. Their hands and feet were burned while cold water was poured over them to lengthen the agony. Early church knew what persecution was. Wow. So now, we find ourselves in this day and time, coming up here a little bit further. Can't take 2,000 years and come on up. Yes, we're under attack. And yes, Satan is trying to get us. There was a missionary I was talking to from Haiti, and I was talking to him and I said, isn't it hard to be a Christian in Haiti with all the witch doctors and all the voodoo? And he said, to my face, he said, it's easier to be a Christian in Haiti and stand strong than to be one in the United States of America, because we've had it too easy. Wow. The persecution coming at you, been talked about, been lied on. When it comes, it's a test of your character and it's a test of your comfort. The reason for persecution, you say, well, I don't know why I'm being picked on. Here's Charlie Brown. Why is everybody always picking on me? Here's the reason. Number one, because of the life we live. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And because of the Lord that we love, because Jesus said people will insult you, persecute you, and say false things because of him. You can go out in the name of Buddha. You can go out in the name of Allah. You can go out in the name of Hare Krishna, and people are going to protect you. You're right, but when you say I'm a child of God, watch out. You got a target on your back. When you say Jesus, righteousness really means just being like Jesus and doing the right thing. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? A couple weeks ago, we did What Would Jesus Do, and we did it on the radio. And instead of just doing WWJD, What Would Jesus Do, we did DJWW, The Devil Just Won't Win. So watch. Persecution. Remember, when the heat is on, and we do have heat, we might not be chased by lions, but we still have heat. We might not have our hands in the fire, but we still have heat. When the heat is on, remember this, God knows where you're at. He sees you, he knows, he understands, and he is more concerned with your character than your comfort. And because he's concerned more with your character than your comfort, when these trials come, Satan does it to drive you away from God. God does it to drive you to closer to him. So here we go. When persecution comes, remember this, I want you to watch. When persecution comes, remember this, God does not require you to be brilliant. He does not require you to be clever. It does not require you to be articulate. It doesn't require you to be innovative. It doesn't require you to be charming. He doesn't require you to be handsome or beautiful. But what he does require is for you to be faithful. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. What's a steward? Somebody that's managing somebody else's stuff. Things we got down here is God's stuff. And God wants us to manage his stuff and be faithful. God's watching. Now, there's all kinds of, I looked up, and I'm telling you, you look through history, it depends on what history book you're looking through, we'll tell you how the apostles died. There's some we know exactly how they died. There's others that we're not sure. We just think we know how they died. So I got down here and got an accumulative story here, and depending on what book you're looking at, it may be not what your book says. So again, we were not there, so we don't know for sure. But this is how it says the apostles died, talking about faithfulness. James was beheaded, the Bible tells us that in Acts. Philip was scourged and thrown into prison and then crucified. Matthew was slain with a sword. James the Lesser was stoned to death. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Andrew was crucified and left hanging on the Andrew cross for 3 days. Peter was crucified upside down at his own request. Jude, Jesus' half-brother, was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten with clubs and then crucified. Thomas was speared to death. Simon the Zealot was crucified. And John died at the age of 100 in Ephesus. Some say he died on the Isle of Patmos, but there's reports that he made it off the Isle of Patmos and that he died at Ephesus. Either way about it, look at what these guys went through. They were there with Jesus. They understood all these things. They worked miracles. They saw God work miracles. They worked miracles. But they knew what persecution was. God help me be willing and be ready when the time comes to stand up and say, yes, I'm one of those. Yes, I'm a Jesus fan. Yes, I belong to him. Say what you will, but I belong to him. Now, persecution, if you're going to be like these guys, you're going to hang in there and hang tight. It's even thought that when James was taken to be beheaded, there's a historian wrote that when James was on the way to be beheaded, that he was so strong and his conviction was so strong that the man that was taking him there, this was by several writers, that the man that was taking him there fell under conviction at his strength and at his fortitude. And he actually lost his head the same day. He was so convicted that he accepted Jesus Christ and they took his head off. So now watch. Persecution attitude. I know this don't sound good, but I want you to listen to that. Great pleasure. Here's our attitude. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Jesus never promised us a rose garden. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to suffer persecution. In this world, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me daily. In this world, it's not going to be easy. John 16:33, in this world you will suffer tribulation. Tribulation means tight places. It means persecution. You're going to suffer this stuff, but that's okay, because I've already overcome it, and I'm going to give you the strength to overcome it. So it says, I want you to rejoice, to be glad, or exceedingly glad, to thrive. You want to listen, I know I've told you this before, but my granddaddy, back in the day when I was a little boy, you just didn't go buy all these plants already ready to plant. You had to, but these little bitty cups that we got here, we get our water in. My granddaddy had little bitty cups like that he put in his shop. And he would put seeds in it, tomato seeds in it, or whatever kind of seeds. And he would put them in his shop, and he would grow them in the window. And then he would take them and transplant them into the garden. Y'all remember those days? Okay? Not like it is today. Today's pretty simple. Okay? So, but I went there one day, and I saw some of his plants. His little bitty plants, they were under a big dark bowl. I looked at it and I said, Granddaddy, why are you covering your seed? Why are you putting them in the dark like that? Aren't you hurting them? And he said, no, grandson. He said, if I plant them now, a good hard dry spell will kill them. He said, because they don't have any root. He says, so I cover them with darkness. So the root drives down further and further and further. Then when I take them out after being in the dark for a while and I plant them, they'll withstand the rain, they'll withstand the dry spells because their roots are down. And sometimes God allows us to go through dark seasons not to destroy us, but for our roots to drive further in the ground. So when persecution comes, we can stand strong and we can stand true and be like James, be so convicted and so convincing that the man with him died beside him, a Christian. So great pleasure, literally to jump, skip, to have good time. It's a great pleasure when we're being persecuted. Take joy when people misunderstand you. Take joy when they talk about you. Take joy when they're hitting on you. Thank God that you're worthy enough to suffer for his name. That's what the apostles did when they were beaten. They come back and said, yeah, we got beat, but thank God we were even kind of worthy enough. So first, great pleasure. And then there's a glorious promise. He says, great is your reward in heaven. There's at least three reasons to rejoice about heaven. Number one, Luke 10 and 20 says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Anybody's name written in heaven? You know what? Let Satan beat me. Let him try his best to take me down. Like Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If you see me down here, I'm going to talk about Christ. You know, there was a lady who was married to a man who was an alcoholic, and the man constantly tried to keep her from church. She had a sister that was in church that she was going to church with that night. She had a sister that had died and gone to heaven. And she was on the way to meet her sister at church, and the drunk man started to beat on her and said, if you go to church tonight, I will beat you until your last breath. And she said, do what you want. She says, because right now I'm going to see my sister down here, and if you do that, I'm going to see my sister up there. But either way about it, I'm going to see one of my sisters tonight. Nothing is greater than the power of God. And hold on to him no matter how bad things seem. So look, Luke 10, 20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Number two, rejoice in anticipation of your rewards for service. We're going to stand before God one day, and he's going to reward you for what you've done down here. I've had people before, and I've told people early on, and then I've had people tell me later on, why you do that? Why are you looking out for that person? You know that person don't appreciate that. Why are you helping that person? That person could care less about you. Why are you doing this and why are you doing that? And I'm saying, because I'm handing up another brief. I'm handing up something else to God. God, look, I didn't do this for me, God. I did this for you. I did it in your name. I handed them that glass of water. And I'm thanking you, God. Because they may not notice it much longer, but you will notice it through eternity. And number three, Revelation 22 and 4 says we're going to see his face. Wow. Can't you imagine? When we see him, all this stuff's going to fall behind. I remember watching both of my sons being born. And I remember the agony and I remember the hurt. But I also remember afterwards that baby being picked back up. My boys being picked up and put on their mama's chest, and she's looking at that baby. You know what? She forgot all about the pain. During it, she told me, get out of here, you dummy. I was trying to be in Lamar's class, and I was going, breathe, honey, breathe. Breathe, honey, breathe. She said, get out of my face, I am breathing. Go get mama, I don't want to see you ever again. But after the baby was born, forgot all about it. When we see Jesus, we're going to forget all about this stuff. It ain't going to matter anymore. So it's a great pleasure to have this come against us. It's a glorious promise that God's going to give you a reward when these things come against you. And then there's a great privilege. We follow in the prophet's footsteps. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which does so readily defy and cleverly clings to us and entangles us, and let us run with patience, endurance, and steadiness, and active persistence the appointed course of the race that has been set before us. God's watching. So here's the blessings of persecution. I'm getting ready to close. Here's the blessings. How many want to see a blessing in your persecution? All right, here's your blessings. First, it confirms your relationship. Persecution is a certificate of Christian authenticity. Authenticity. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. People seem to think, and I told you about this a couple weeks ago, I was watching one of those big name preachers on television, and I actually heard them say, I heard it out of my own ears, I turned the TV. I listened for a while and I just turned it. They said, if you serve Jesus Christ, a big name, if I told you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you serve Jesus, as a matter of fact, it was his daughter talking. If you serve Jesus, the Bible says you're going to suffer affliction. And then she said, but that don't mean you're going to have problems down here. That doesn't mean you're going to suffer any down here. What that means is you might have to spend some hard nights in prayer. Well, then I must be doing wrong. No. Matter of fact, that same person in their church, he taught it so much that they didn't even immunize their kids in the church. It's a great big church. And the church wound up with an outbreak of measles. And so they had to come get people in to come in to inoculate these kids and to take care of the ones that had these measles. And he had to apologize. Let me tell you something. Those that live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. There's things going to come against you. You're going to be talked about, maybe be ridiculed. But that's okay, because if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. Suffering is the badge of the disciple. Amen? You suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. Praise the Lamb of God. You know, I heard a man looked up from his hospital bed and said to his wife, this kind of makes me want to shed a little tear here. Says, you've always been with me when I've had trouble. When I lost my shirt in a poor investment, you were there. When I had a car accident, you were with me. When I got fired, you were there. I realized that in all these discomforts and misfortunes, you were there. Now I believe what my friends were saying. You are bad luck. Things are tough. Life is tough. God wants to do something. So first, persecution confirms our relationship. Secondly, it causes reliance. When we suffer, we're more prone. Remember that seed, once it's covered in darkness, it goes down to try to find water. Listen, we're forced to lean on God in ways that we've never had before. And when we do, we see God's power. Like this, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, it says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. Number three, good thing about persecution, it cultivates righteousness. The best way to grow is to go through something. Amen? The best way to grow is to go through something. I honestly, if a man... When people say they want to minister to people, and I see they haven't gone through anything, sometimes it makes their testimony a little weak. But when you can say, wait a minute, I've been through something, and God brought me through it, your testimony's strong. I've gone through something, and God proved himself faithful. That's when people are watching. They want to hear what you got to say. You know, that young man that was here the other night in the wheelchair, I took him out to eat at Andy's afterwards, and he told me that he didn't completely sever his spinal cord, that it wasn't a total injury. And he said that he is trying his best. He says, one day I'm going to walk again. And I went to work out the next day at the hospital. When I got there, he was there. And he was on one of those machines where you can push your legs and your arms at the same time. And he was sitting in there, getting up from his wheelchair, he was sitting in there. And the whole time I was there, he was working those legs. He never stopped. I got up on the machine, and I got tired after about a minute. I said, I think I'll get off now. And I'm trying to look, and there he was right beside me, pushing. And I said, well, I think I'll do it a little bit longer. And he told me, he said, preacher, you watch. I am going to walk again. And the lady from the workout center told me, she says, he does this for 2 to 4 hours. Wow. And he says, I'm going to walk again. You know what? I believe him. Amen. I really believe him. So look. Persecution cultivates righteousness. Persecution also confers a reward. Suffering causes us to focus on what's to come in heaven. You know, you've heard me say it so many times. My mama, her and daddy were talking about retirement. And when they found out that she had all these problems, and then when they found out that it was going to be to her demise, And then especially when she got the cancer, when they found out all this stuff that was going on, Mama went from trying to get ready to retire to spending all the time she could with her family. Her whole attitude changed about everything. She just wanted to be with her family. And I remember on Thanksgiving and on Christmas, she was in rehab, and they let us have that little room. And we had, one of the last years she lived, we were in the hospital for every holiday, it seemed like. And then I remember she come home after that holiday. We had and we came home with her. We put up the Christmas tree on Thanksgiving. And she looked at my dad and she said, "Honey, I'm tired." He said, "Okay, if I go home." And Daddy said, "If that's what you want, dear." And she lived just a few more weeks. And then she went to be with God. But you know something? She taught me such a valuable lesson. What we got down here doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, I used to work at a television shop, put up a lot of antennas before we had all this cable. And I remember something. I could be bragging about and thinking about how great my new meter is and my new tool belt is and all my tools. And I'm thinking, man, this is an awesome wrench. Man, look at this. Awesome. This is a digital meter. How many remember meters used to be like this? They had a digital meter, and I said, "Man, I'm awesome." But when you own a three-story house and you lose your balance, you're not grabbing for that meter. You're not grabbing for them tools. Yeah, grabbing for an extension cord, or grabbing for a rope, or grabbing for something. The same way, once you get this in your mind, you see things a whole lot different. Amen? But we may lose everything on earth, but we shall inherit everything in heaven. So remember this, and I'm getting ready to close. Y'all looking like y'all ready to be persecuted out. Ready? Going to the checkout line. Remember this. When we handle persecution in a way that honors God, that brings conviction to the persecutor, and brings peace to us, God smiles. God is awesome. God is awesome. Everybody to stand. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Satan would like you to believe that nothing you do down here, nothing is worth all the stuff you have to go through. I'm here to tell you something. No matter what you go through down here, God's watching, and God's got you handled. God's watching with everything. Well, everybody, bow your head. Bow your head and close your eyes. Satan has a target with your name on it. And he wants you to believe that if you'll let up, you'll quit shooting that target. He wants you to believe that if you'll just calm down and not serve God so strong, that things will get better. But I can tell you, the devil is a liar and the father of it. We've got a lot of things in this world that we have to face. But as long as I got Jesus with me, I'm not afraid to face it. I'm not afraid to face the storm as long as Jesus is on that ship. Today, you may be here and you're going through something. And Satan says it's because you're not doing right. You're not living right. It's because you haven't crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's. That's not necessarily true. Matter of fact, you may be going through something today because you have crossed your I's and or crossed your T's and dotted your I's. He wants to test your character, and he wants to test your comfort. The decision is yours. Yours. Let him win, because God doesn't want you to give in. God says there's a great reward. Great. Right now, I want and everybody that will, if you've got a need in your life, especially if you feel like you're being persecuted, you feel the heat on, you need to touch, you need to unwind, to give it to God, to trust Him, I invite you right now. I invite you right now to come forth. Come. Come. Come on up here. Spend some time with the Master. Maybe you've got other reasons you need to pray. The altar's open. Don't let this day go by without talking to Him. He knows your need more than you do. He's aware of your problems more than you are. Don't let Satan lie to you and tell you that you're going through things because you don't deserve anything. Guess what? It's not what I deserve. It's called grace. And God gives it freely. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You need to pray for anything right now. I invite you to come. Don't let this day go by without praising Him and praying to Him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're in control. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the storm. It's developing character. Thank you, Father. It develops character within us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Salt of the earth, that the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the feet of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
I was watching this show called The 60s, talking about news events in the 60s, and I happened to see something about Robert Kennedy last night that just blew me away. Totally blew me away. He was running for president when Martin Luther King was assassinated. And he was close to one of the places in a ghetto area when he found out the news. And his people told him, the best thing you can do is just decline, get out of here, go back. Not be seen right now. And Bobby Kennedy said, that's not how it works. And right in the ghetto. And he said, I know you're hurt. And I know you're mad. He says, and I know what it's like. Because my brother was shot. I know what the pain is. And he says, now is not a time for revenge. Now is the time to stand strong again. Wow, against all of his political advisors. I thought it was so awesome. It put a big old feather in his cap in my eyes. But still, again, when persecution comes, don't run and hide. Let somebody know we're sitting on a hill. They cannot be hid. I will not be shut up. I will not be set down. I will stand. I will talk about Jesus the day I die. Amen? I will stand. Praise the Lamb of God. Persecute me if you have to. I will. Now, speaking of stand, let's all stand. If you want a spaghetti lunch, just go next door, and they're doing it over there. I actually sent out a, you heard that thing, if you bid it, they'll come. Well, I sent out a text message to all my kids. If you'll come, I'll feed you. So usually when food's involved, I can, you know, work out a better crowd. So if y'all want to get something to eat, it'll save you a whole lot of time. Instead of having to go home, go over there and get you something that's going to be good. Thank Brother Burton for coming today. And his right-hand man. That's why I can't wait until we play. Can't wait. Amen. Brother Burton, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? Number 11.
As we go to our homes, keep us safe in Christ's name. Amen, amen.